And so this is very simple, just a couple of things. I had some conceptual connections for you to make you think about a little bit more some of what we saw this morning, and I'm going to connect it to Psalm 42. You don't need to open it up. It's one verse that I'm going to really use. This morning at the feast, remember, they are celebrating God's great provision of the water. And they're doing that huge water ceremony. And what they're celebrating, especially, you read it in Nehemiah, is the rock that God provided for them in the wilderness. So if your brain is already starting to work that direction, Jesus stands up and says, I have water. Paul makes it explicit that Jesus was the rock in the wilderness that followed them around to give them water. And so the scene is just remarkable. If you felt it this morning, it's breadth of all the things in the scripture that are coming together. And it was fitting for him to do this. And so when you come into Psalm 42, there's a point at which the psalmist, it says the sons of Korah, he or they call God my rock. Now, out of context, if I said, God is your rock, what would you probably say? That's a rhetorical question. Don't speak out loud. What would you say? God is my rock. You'd be like, well, he's my solid foundation. That's right. That's good. He's the rock on which I stand. You know, we'd probably sing that song, right? Across Christ, the solid rock I stand. Throughout scripture, one of the greatest ways that God is called a rock is that he is the one who provides water. Look at, well, you don't have it. At the beginning of Psalm 42, it opens up with, I pant for streams of water. I thirst for God, the living God. When he comes down into the psalm, it is my rock, the one who quenches my thirst, the one who pours out his spirit into my life, the one who leads me by still waters, the one who feeds me by these streams. And in a sense, God himself is that stream of water, that flowing stream of water. And if you, when you think of like a flowing stream of water, I wonder what we would think of, like what would be an adjective? You'd say, well, I think it does this or whatever. In my dad works for a, you know this, my dad works for a water park called Schlitterbahn. It's German. And the water's fed by the Kamal River. And the Kamal River is famously ice cold. It's freezing. And so what happens at Schlitterbahn, you go and you stand in line. And you grab a tube that's been sitting in 106-degree sun, an inner tube that's rubber, and you put it on your shoulder and it burns your shoulder. And you walk that up and you stand in line for an hour and a half in the sun, thinking about all the skin cancer you are creating at that moment. That water, if you went from the shade and just got in it, you'd be like, this is terrible. This feels terrible. But if you stand in line for an hour, even when you hit the water, it's not an exaggeration. You watch people. It's a little bit like when Randy goes at the Christmas story and sees Santa Claus and you watch him freak out, right? And you're next. And people jump in the water and they land in the water and you watch them go, and their whole body like convulses because it's so cold. But you've been standing in the sun for an hour and you are panting for anything that will quench that heat. And so you get in, and though it's like ice, you're like, that's refreshing. That's what streams of flowing water are. God is meant to be refreshing. It's just often the case, though, in our lives, we need to stand in the sun before we experience him in a refreshing way. This is what we were talking about just a minute ago. Often, before we experience the refreshing nature of Christ, because we are so distracted pulled away. We put up dams. We don't want to get in the water, all those types of things. But when we are in pain, when we are in suffering, when we are in difficulty, when we're in the heat, those flowing streams of water, we pant for them. Because if we're honest, I wonder how much we actually, when we read Psalm 42, and he says he pants for the Lord, there's a sense in which underneath us we do, but sometimes I'm like, I don't think I do enough. And I think from this morning, what we can pray for, if the reality is what God is talking about, what Jesus announced, he's the rock giving spiritual water, giving this capital S water, right? Spirit-filled water, living water to his people that has all these things about forgiveness and rest and joy and righteousness coming to you and things that are changing your life and the hope of the future, all these things. One of the things we need to ask is for God to make that real. Because I think it feels unreal. I think it feels so enormous that it's just like, just tell me I've got the Spirit of God and let's go to lunch. When it's so much greater and grander. And we need the Spirit of God to open our eyes and give us an incredible thirst. How about this? Whatever it takes. We need to ask him to give us an incredible thirst for him and for that water. Great God and Father, we do thank you for the gift of prayer in which we can truly cry out to you in the Spirit, and we can cry out, Abba, Father, and we can cry out words from our end that don't seem to make any sense, and yet you understand the deep groanings of our heart. We thank you for that reality and that truth. Lord, may you continue to give us a thirst for you, for your righteousness, for your return. And give us a thirst to see those waters spill out of our lives into other people's lives. Lord, continue to do your marvelous work of bringing your people more into the life of Christ. We ask that you would do this for his honor, his glory, his name. But it's also, Lord, because it's for our good, because you love us. And we pray all this in our Savior's great and wonderful name. Amen.